quick. Run for your life. It's the Loot Mechanics Podcast. Beerless and Skolmas have returned from beyond space and time to wreak havoc upon all they survey while chatting sarcastically about video and tabletop gaming. With snark and poorly thought out hot takes, they may bring even the strongest man to their knees, shattering even the most stalwart sanity. Run while you still can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Skolmas.
And I'm Bayless.
So, anything interesting going on with you this week?
Nothing, spectacular. Just been creative on my D&D campaign.
Nice.
Been working on a lot of new magic items.
That's cool. I mean, it's always good to be, working on that stuff. I'm sure it's going to be really interesting. We finally get back to being able to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will be, upfront with everyone. This show is pre-recorded because when we normally would be recording this, I'm camping because nothing says camping like February. In fact, early February. Hey, Ten Knife wants to go camping. We go camping, all right?
I'm not arguing.
Oh, I thought about it. But hey, like she says, we're in a yurt. It's not like we're in a tent or anything. And there's an electric heater in the yurt. So, and it's on the coast. How cool could it possibly get on the coast the first weekend in February?
Didn't it snow there last year?
Yeah. I've been snow camping before. It's not fun, but it can be done, and it's for a good cause. So, okay. So camping we are at. Thus, no live show this week. Apologies. We'll get you on the second week in February. How's that? But anyway, so, yeah.
The main topic.
Oh, hey, Bealist, did you hear that Sony and Microsoft are starting to squeeze out more of the, I guess now their current gen consoles, the PS5 and Xbox Series X and S?
No, I hadn't, but then again, I don't intend to buy one, so they're not on my radar at all.
Yeah, I mean, I just basically given up on the idea of getting one. I would like to get an Xbox Series X at some point, but, with the whole scalping thing that was going on in November and December last year, I was like, eventually they'll start pumping them out by the millions, and I'm not going to worry about it right now. But then I heard that, hey, they've started to get them ready. In fact, they're doing pre-orders for them right now because they're going to be coming out soon. Except for the pre-order sold out because they all got bought up by bots. Again, despite measures have been taken to say that you can only buy one console each, they supposedly took all these great measures to make sure that nobody could hoard massive amounts of these. The bots just laughed at their measures, modified, and moved on. Supposedly one retailer, I don't remember which one it was, it may have been Walmart, I'm not sure which, for sure, but their one per customer measure involved, it would only allow one per email address.
Well, that's not a bright way to do it.
So the bots just made a fuck ton of Gmail addresses and use those.
Well, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, they basically just jumped on there and took over. And so it's the same fucking thing again. Now, some sites were like, we're making measures. You know, if we find out that these were bought by bots, then we'll cancel those. Okay. And then they're going to put those pre-orders up for sale again, where they'll be bought by bots.
Uh-huh.
Again.
Exactly.
It seems to me, people say, well, the only way to stop the scalpers is just not to buy from them. But while I don't know a single person that's bought from a scalper, and that's not saying nobody does. Obviously, a lot of
people do.
But you would think they're not getting quite the business that they had hoped for, because there are still people with massive amounts of stock. These scalpers that still have a bunch that they haven't sold from the first time they bought them. And the prices are coming down some from where they had reached. But it's not stopping them from continuing to buy more stock, which forces people to either buy from them or not buy at all. To which I have a solution, actually. It's a way in which fans make their point, and it will show Sony and Microsoft and all these major retailers that scalping is ultimately bad for them, for their long-term business goals. And that's this. Just don't buy a PS5 or one of the new Xboxes.
I agree.
But it goes more than that. Don't buy a PS4 or an Xbox One. And if you already have them, don't use them. Don't buy new games. Don't buy new peripherals. And get on social media and let Sony and Microsoft and all the major retailers know that you are boycotting the PlayStation and Xbox brands. Just don't buy them, period. Don't support them in any way whatsoever until they've done something to concretely stop the scalping problem. Because they can.
Mm-hmm.
They just choose not to because, well, we're selling. It doesn't matter who we're selling to. We're just selling product. It's the retailer's fault. They're not the ones controlling the sales properly.
Okay. Yes, but if you put your thumb on the manufacturer and tell them you're not happy with how their product is being put out to the masses, that the masses are getting screwed by all these botters, and they either need to do something about it or people are going to stop buying their product. They'll have to step up and say, okay, all you people out there, you need to fix this now because we're losing money.
Yeah.
That means you're losing money.
It's not like people can't still play. They can still do PC gaming. They can still jump on their Switch, because let's mm-hmm. be honest, most everyone owns a Switch now. And oh no, what do we do to buy our Switch games and peripherals? Buy them online from Nintendo. Bingo. There you go.
Well, and also by doing that, you're basically telling Walmart and all these other companies that can't figure their shit out that you're not going to buy your game materials from them. You'll go straight to Nintendo and buy your shit. You don't
exactly.
need them.
So, sure, they're selling out on their Xbox Series X, and they're selling out on their PS5s, but they're stuck with all these games that nobody's buying, with all these peripherals that nobody's buying, and they've got all these Nintendo product that nobody is buying, because they can't be bothered to control how they're selling stuff. They could actually put proper measures in to stop botters, or at least to slow it down enough so that other people could have a chance. They could make it to where you can't buy the product online. You have to go into the store to physically buy them, and you can only buy one. That's not going to completely solve it, but it's going to it's going to make a bigger dent than a bot jumping online and buying literally dozens in a few seconds, faster than you can log in. There are people that are logging in, getting the thing into their checkout, and by the time they go checkout, it's sold out. Literally a matter of seconds. Oh, but what about Amazon? I'm sorry, a damn near a trillion dollar company can go fuck themselves personally when it comes to, oh, we can't sell the PS5 or the Xbox Series X. Go fuck yourselves until you can figure it out. Everybody else, sell in person or don't sell at all, because you can't do it right. You don't know what you're doing. And I don't have any pity for you. I honestly don't.
But that's also never going to happen.
No. There's literally no way we could get people to just jump on board a complete boycott like that.
Because what's going to happen is they're going to roll out another round of consoles, and they're going to completely lose their nerve, and they're going to jump in and try and get one.
Sure. Or even if let's say the scalpers continue to buy up all the consoles, you're still going to have Johnny got to have the new latest game, because the game will come out for the PS4 or the Xbox One with upgrades to come for the PS5. That's what they've been doing. They've been selling for the previous generation consoles with a free upgrade to come to increase the graphics and whatnot on the PS5 and the Xbox Series machines. So they'll go, oh, well, I just got to have insert name of game here. And they'll go out and buy it, which that's what Sony wants. That's what Microsoft wants. They want to continue to sell that product. And as long as they can get dumbasses to continue to buy their product, they can continue to say, well, business is good, so obviously everything's fine. Meanwhile, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of their new consoles are sitting in someone's living room or warehouse or wherever, being priced on eBay for well over $1,000 each, and they're just going to sit there. But as far as Sony and Microsoft are concerned, well, that's a sale. As far as Walmart and Amazon and Best Buy, as far as they're concerned, it's a sale, but it's not getting used. That's not something that was sold to an actual person who will use it. And in the end, this will become an issue because, well, think about this. A year from now, let's say that I'm not sure how many units they've sold officially of the PS5 or the Xbox Series machines. But let's just say they've each sold 20 million. That's high. But let's just say they've each sold 20 million. And then they start putting out games that are just for those things. They won't be for the PS4. You won't be able to use them on your Xbox One anymore. Suddenly, a whole lot less people are buying those games. I wonder why. Oh, it's because only 3 million are actually out in circulation, because all the rest of them are sitting in a warehouse.
And that would be amazing if people could have the wherewithal to not buy from the botters, because I would love to see a botter spend thousands and thousands of dollars buying up a bunch of those things and then nobody buys them.
But here's the thing. Some of the botters have actually, I mean, there's some that are small that are like, they just bought up a couple dozen and they're sitting in their living room. And you've had some conglomerations of people that have put money together and they bought several hundred or so, and they have them sitting in a warehouse or whatever, right? But there's some bot groups that are leasing bots. They're scalping in a way where they'll say, hey, you want to buy a PS5? There's going to be pre-orders or whatever coming up soon. So you pay us for the use of one of our bots, and we'll get you one. All you got to do is pay us X amount more than the cost of the machine. And then what you do with it is up to you. You want to sell it on eBay, or you want to keep it for yourself? Cheaper than buying on eBay. Buying one from another scalper, they're undercutting the other botters. But they're still scumbag scalpers. They're saying basically the only way to get our product is to pay $1,000 or more to a normal scalper, or to pay us $100 or so just so you get a chance at getting one. They don't guarantee you will get one. You get a chance.
No, thank you.
In the end, the whole thing is utter trash.
Aww.
Were you saying something before? Because I think you broke up.
No, I was waiting till you'd be done, and then I heard it go bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, that's on your end.
No, it was you logging out and then logging back in.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We're having a problem with Discord, and the only way I can fix it is to switch rooms. So it's not affecting the recording. Don't worry about it. Anyway, so yeah. My suggestion, don't buy anything for any PlayStation or Xbox product, period, until they get their shit straight.
Oh, I agree. Screw them.
Other bullshit.
So, Bealus.
Yes.
Since I'm on vacation right now and can't really address any news, not that there's been any real good news to talk about regarding tabletop role-playing, got to thinking, that would be a good time for an advice discussion, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm on Reddit more often than not anymore, at least once a day, and tend to spend some time in r/RPG. Well, I see a lot of people in there wanting to know, you know, hey, I'm new to tabletop role-playing games. I want to play something, or I want to run something, or I've got some friends that are into it, or whatever, right?
Right.
What would be a good game for us to start out with? Oh. And
hey,
invariably, I mean, almost always, the first thing that gets brought up is Dungeons and Dragons, because
right.
It's the biggest,
it's the easiest.
Everybody knows it, and it's not the easiest, but that's neither here nor there.
Not difficult.
It has 53% of the market share. It's the big behemoth in the industry. And Pathfinder is right up there with it. So Pathfinder is usually not something they suggest for new people.
Of course not.
But those two are often brought up as, hey, these are things that you could start out with, because they're effectively both Dungeons and Dragons, kind of. And everybody knows Dungeons and Dragons. But the thing is, a lot of the time, you've got people that are new to tabletop role playing and they don't want to play Pathfinder, and they don't want to play Dungeons and Dragons. Maybe their budget is limited, and we both know those games are expensive.
Can be.
To buy all the books for. Even if you buy just the core books, that's still some pretty good money you're laying out, especially if you're just new to the hobby and you're not sure if you're going to want to stick with it or not. I know I'm not going to want to put out, you know, the better part of $100 for Dungeons and Dragons for the three core books, and easily $100 to start up Pathfinder Second Edition. So it got me thinking, what would be your suggestion? I have an idea or two. for games that would be good for new people to either run or play, or both, in tabletop role-playing that aren't Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder.
Well, first off, what genre are you looking for? Because there are games for every kind of genre. If you're into cat girls and anime, they've got that. If you're into kung fu combat, they got that. Cyberpunk, yep. You know, they've got, you know, modern magic settings. They've got horror. They've got Cthulian. They've got all kinds of games. So what genre are you looking for?
Well, you know, it could be any genre. What are some games you would suggest of any genre?
Call of Cthulhu.
You think that's a good starter game?
Yeah. It's not a hard game to learn. It's not a game that you have to really worry about all these little details. You know, it's just a get in, play it, do your best to survive. If you die, oh well, roll up a new character and try again. It's not, you know, easy, as in, you know, where you just kind of steamroll through things. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to be careful. You're going to have to be creative.
Sure.
I think it's a great game.
It is. And also, it is...
So what would you suggest?
Well, before we get off that, on regarding Call of Cthulhu, for people that are, you know, as long as they like horror, a good way for them to introduce it to their group would be, hey, let's sit down and watch a couple movies and break out Evil Dead 2, break out Reanimator, silent film, Call of Cthulhu. There's a bunch of, I mean, clearly, bunches of The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. These are all great films where you could go, see, you guys like those? Let's play this. Because you can do that in this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I agree. It's just not something that people would normally think of as a game that you would jump into, you know, for a starter game. But, yeah, it certainly could be. I mean, it uses Chaosium's basic system, so... Now,
so what would you suggest?
Well, for me, mine's kind of on the opposite end of that, in a way, but not. You know, I'm really into Powered by the Apocalypse games, right?
Yes, I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah, just a few times. Now, they are notoriously very easy to learn, very rules light, easy to just jump into, play without a whole lot of preparation. All in all, they're pretty good games. So, for me, I would suggest Ironsworn.
Okay.
Now, there are a lot of other Powered by the Apocalypse games that I enjoy more than Ironsworn, personally. I mean, I'm a big fan of Monster of the Week, Vagabonds of Dyfed, so on and so forth. Spirit of 77 is just super fun. But Ironsworn is great. Because, well, okay, it's a gritty fantasy game, right? And so you can hook people with that. It's fairly rules light, but it has one major thing over most other games in that its design, it's not built primarily as a standard role-playing game. It's designed as a solo role-playing game. So if somebody's new to role-playing, they can try it out. They can buy Ironsworn, try it out, and just get to learn a little bit about role-playing that way. But it also can be used cooperatively. It's got built-in oracles, right? So you don't need a game master. If you've got people that nobody knows how to game master yet, you've got a few people that are willing to play, and yourself, you can sit there and play as a group and roll on the oracles to take the part of the game master and play it that way. Or it can be played with a game master and a group, or even just a game master and one or two other people if you only have a few friends willing to try it out. So it can be done in all these different configurations, all these different ways. So it gives you a huge amount of flexibility while teaching you everything you need to know about role-playing. And it has one other really important thing about it.
Jizz?
If you don't mind using a digital PDF, it's free. Sure, you can buy a printed version. I have one myself, which also comes with the PDF, by the way. Or, but if you just, you don't want to spend any money, you just want to try something out and see how it goes, get the free version. Throw it on your tablet, throw it on your phone, throw it on your computer, whichever. Give a copy to everybody in the group so they all have a copy for free and play that way. As long as you've got 2d10 and a d6, you're good to go.
Well, I think we've got that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Considering my dice habit? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, for me, that is an awesome option for somebody new to role playing that, well, whether they would be willing to play D&D or Pathfinder or not, fucking Ironsworn is the answer, in my humble opinion. It's not the only answer, of course, though.
It's not.
Do you have another option that you would like people to know about?
Well, of course. There's tons of good games out there. You know, how many people are there out there who are into Star Wars?
Lots.
They've got Star Wars games, multiple different, you know, games based in the Star Wars universe. So if you want to bring the Mandalorian to life, you can do that. Whether it be the D20 version or the D6 version, they've got what you want. They're all fairly simple to learn, and it's based off of a system, or it's based off of a, you know, a setting that everybody knows. Hell, the same could be said for the Star Trek game.
Yeah.
You know, actually, they've got that.
Star Trek Adventures is put out by Modiphius Games right now, and it uses the 2D20 system, which is a very popular system right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, that's, I don't personally know the game. I've never tried it, but I hear it is very popular. And the good thing about those properties, though, is that you don't need to learn all this esoteric lore and everything, because most everybody knows Star Trek and Star Wars. You can just jump, you don't have to tell people what the setting is like, because you've got the Empire and lightsabers, or you've got the Enterprise and Klingons and Vulcans. Everybody knows it, or most everybody does. And if they don't, they probably aren't interested in role-playing in the first place.
Probably not.
But personally, if it was for Star Wars games, I would suggest they go and track down the old West End games, Star Wars 2nd Edition, Revised and Expanded,
right,
also known as the D6 version, because mm-hmm. it's so good. There are newer versions, the old Saga Edition, which uses the D20 system, basically, from Wizards of the Coast. And the most current, I think, is the Fantasy Flight Games version. But that uses some, you have to use, it has special dice just for it. You have to go and buy special dice. So I don't know if I'd suggest that one, but the D6 version is awesome.
We played that for quite a while.
Yep. And anytime I want to play Star Wars, that is the game I will break out, because it's really good.
Do you have a second?
I do. And actually, it's one we have played. I think it is possibly the easiest game I've ever run or played. It literally takes 3 minutes to make a character. It requires almost no preparation time for the game master. It is stupid fun and teaches you all about role playing. And that's Dead of Night. I'm pretty sure you remember us playing that on the old Actual Play podcast some time ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember it.
I mean, yeah. It's not the deepest game in the world.
No.
And it's mostly built for one-shots. But what it does, which is emulating your classic horror films, you know, slasher films and the such, it does that ridiculously well. Better than any other horror game I can think of. It's just stupid fun. And from a game master's perspective, it's great because, much like with Powered by the Apocalypse games, I don't have to do anything. I don't roll dice. The players do all the rolling, which is great because it leaves all that in their hands. Anything that happens, good or bad, is by the fall of their dice and the choices they make. There's not a, hey, the game master is fudging their dice and screwing us over. No. Y'all are doomed anyway. You're just doing it to yourselves. When you roll badly, bad things happen. If you roll well, bad things will happen eventually, but not right now. So, I mean, because you don't play characters, you play victims. There's the monsters, and there's victims. And if it's played properly, the players come into it knowing that their characters are going to die because it's a slasher film, or it's a monster film, it's something, and they're playing victims. They're here to die. Sure, they might survive, but most likely not. Because the whole point is to emulate a horror film. So if anybody makes it out, it's going to be one or two people at most, if it's done properly. And even then, like when I ran it, I didn't even let the one person who survived survive, because it was just better to end up the game. It was a one shot, just ended up with one more kill. It's cool. And he didn't mind. At least not as far as I know.
He hasn't talked to you since.
No. We've played since.
I know that.
He doesn't talk to me for other reasons. Anyway. Point is, the worst part about Dead of Night is it's a little harder to find. You can get it print on demand, as far as I know. But the best way to try and get it is to go search on Google, because you're not going to find it on Amazon, most likely, unless it's a used copy. You can still get them new from the manufacturer. Just search for Dead of Night role-playing game on Google. You can find it. It wasn't even that expensive. So I don't even remember how much I paid, but it wasn't that much, because it's not a big book either. But it gives you all the rules you need, and it's got a bunch of, for each monster type, it's got suggestions, a suggested movie that they can be used in as an example, because each monster type can be done in lots of different ways. They're just rough outlines, and then it gives you a more specific example, and it's got a bunch of them throughout the book. So, yeah, definitely worth your while.
If that's the genre you're into.
Sure, but much like Call of Cthulhu, if you're into horror, bam, there you go.
Well, and again, there's another one that I'm kind of fond of, and that's the Dresden Files for modern magic and that sort of thing.
Sure.
You can't beat it. I love the lore. I love the setting. It's modern day Chicago or wherever you decide to be based out of. And you've got, you know, if you read the books, you've got the predetermined, templates to choose from. You know, you've got your wizard, you've got your vampire, or your werewolf, or your fae characters. You've got the paranetters, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The cop. All kinds of cool templates to play.
Sure. Now, personally, if I were going to suggest that, I would tweak it a bit because, you know, they've got the Dresden Files RPG, and it's fine. I've got all three books. But you need those three books. So that's a bit of a price to drop to get all of them. But they also have, you know, they have Fate Accelerated, the new streamlined version of Fate, which is what Dresden Files Accelerated is based off of. It's a single book. It's a smaller book. It's a much more inexpensive book. Yeah, it's much cheaper than buying the three main books. And while it's not as deep rules-wise, I think it's a little easier to understand. I wish when we played Dresden Files as a group several years ago that we had had Accelerated instead at that time, because I think it would have been a lot easier for people to jump into, personally.
I thought we did fine. I thought we all enjoyed ourselves quite a bit.
Oh, everybody did seem to enjoy themselves. In fact, people still want to play it again. And there's nothing wrong with the full Dresden Files. I mean, if you have all three books, you have everything you need. It doesn't have the most, you know, information for the most recent few books, like the last four, but that's right. Okay. Accelerated has everything through Skin Game, which is fine. It doesn't have the most recent two books, but, you know, that's what source books will end up being for. And honestly, they should put out a source book, a fourth book for main Dresden Files that includes information that brings it up to date.
That'd because be nice.
It's set during the Vampire War. So, yeah. But I don't know. It all depends on which do you prefer. Do you want the full depth, or do you want something that's a little more streamlined and cheaper?
Well, if I'm going to play a game, I usually jump in with both feet, so I would go full on.
Well, there you go. Now,
again, that's just me.
There's nothing wrong with that. But finally, because we are running a bit long, I do have one more option I'd briefly like to talk about. And it's not exactly a game most people would think about. In fact, I guarantee 99% of people wouldn't suggest this game for new people, but I am not one of those people. I am a huge fan of this game, and it just works. Plus, much like Call of Cthulhu and the Dresden Files, it has a piece of media, that's actually a lot of different media, but one in particular that is perfect to show to your friends and say, hey, watch this, and if you enjoy it, I have the perfect game to play it, to play in that setting. And that media is Big Trouble in Little China, and the game is Feng Shui 2.
Well, I knew that was going to have to come up.
Well, yeah, it's my favorite game of all time.
Well, with good reason. It's a hell of a good game.
It is. But the thing is that it's got a little bit of esoteric rules. It's a little, if you want to go rules as written, it can take a little bit to get used to. Its initiative is done a little differently than most and whatnot. It's strange compared to other tabletop role-playing games, but what is best about it is, well, first of all, if you're really into Big Trouble in Little China or Chinese action films or Wuxia films or anything like that, you're going to love this game just for its setting. But also, above all else, oh no, I'm having a trouble with the rules. Then ignore them. Because when it comes to Feng Shui 2, you do what's fun, period. You don't like the way the initiative's done? Okay, so don't do that. You don't like the concept of somebody being able to run up a stream of automatic weapons fire? Because I was having a discussion with someone on Reddit about it not that long ago, and they were actually concerned and thought that was stupid and hokey. You don't like that? Don't do that. Personally, I think that's fucking awesome. Because it fit what that ability was supposed to be. I told them, hey, you don't want to play with the, you don't want to include the magic stuff and the supernatural stuff or anything like that. Okay, so make your game set only in the contemporary juncture and disallow any character archetype that has anything supernatural about it, like a transformed dragon or transformed chicken. Yes, you heard me right. Or the magic cop or anything like that. Have only the mundane archetypes that are allowed in the contemporary juncture.
Mm-hmm.
And ignore, that allows you to completely ignore the entire sorcery section and a whole bunch of other stuff. Hell, if you do it right, you don't even have to include chi points for the most part. You're just using them fortune dice instead. But if you want to have martial artists that use chi, you could go there and have the chi powers, which is kind of quasi-supernatural, but whatever. But you want to keep it to that? Cool. And I even told them, I had just recently run a solo game where it was gangsters versus an everyman hero. And it went fucking great. In fact, you can hear that on Ronin Roleplaying. The first 2 months of Ronin Roleplaying was me doing Feng Shui 2. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, you want to make a character? Okay, pick a template. There's like 35 of them or something. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. You go flip through them. Oh, I'd like to play this, please. It fits what you're trying to do. Cool. So what do I do? Well, pick a name. And there's a couple other things you might want to say. Pick your choices of this sort of, you know, you want this sort of weapon or that sort of weapon. Hook. Yeah, melodramatic hook. That's it. It's faster to make a character in Feng Shui 2 than it is of Dead of Night. And they'll ask you, okay, so how do I play my character? Well, what does it say on your character sheet? Do that. It's real easy to find all the rules you need. The game is well indexed. And I just love it.
Well, I quite agree. It's one of my favorite games, too.
Now, is it the perfect game to start out as if you're new?
Oh, hell no.
No, I would still say Iron Sworn is best, or Feng Shui 2, or not Feng Shui 2, I'm sorry, or Dead of Night before Feng Shui 2, but I just got to toss it in there because it's so goddamn good.
Well, and the problem is if your players aren't creative, or they don't get the gist of what the game is supposed to be, it may not be as much fun. I mean, I'm sure they'll still have fun, but, you know, having somebody who grabs a couple, you know, the big soup ladles and starts using them like nunchucks and just quack, 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 and just beating on somebody, and then they end up hooking them by the, you know, the trousers and throwing them off the stairs with the hooked end of the ladle, that's awesome. Instead of, I stand up and shoot, and then I duck back down.
Yeah. A good rule of thumb, When in doubt, defenestrate someone. Throw them out a window. It always tends to work. Or, when in doubt, actually, ask yourself, what would Jack Burton do?
Yep.
Because you can't really go wrong there.
Wrapping things up.
Okay, so that's about all for today, but I do believe we're going to have to revisit that last topic in the future, because I'm pretty sure we both have way more suggestions for games that aren't D&D or Pathfinder that people can jump into. We'll just have to make a list and really go at it next time. It's not that we didn't do it right now, but yeah, whatever. Okay, so do you have anything else to talk about before we go?
No, but at this time, when this is out, you're going to be, or when we should have been recording this, you are going to be camping, so I hope you're having a great time.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking it's going to be pretty good. It was strange, you know. I thought we were really lucky to be able to get the weekend that Ten wanted to go camping. And then I realized, that's Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
Shocking that nobody wants to
give a shit who's going to win?
I don't, but it's shocking that suddenly nobody wants to be camping at the campground we're going to on Super Bowl weekend. Who would have thunk it? I'm just glad that my Rams are not in the Super Bowl. Otherwise, we would have been leaving early, or at least I would have been, or I'd have been bringing a TV with me. Something. Anyway, so till next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
You didn't listen, did you? Now, look at you. You are an absolute mess. But at least you survived to gibber and moan before our masters and overlords, Beerless and Scummers. Be sure to tremble under their baleful eye as you give this podcast a great review on the podcast service of your choice, or leave a nice comment over on their website, scummy.com. While you are there, check out all the other content they offer, and don't forget to join the Discord server. If you don't, they will know, and they will seek vengeance.